Hey, good morning. Thank you so much, Mildred and Paul and all of you for having me here to speak today on the scriptures. We have a lot to celebrate today with Father Rehill's birthday and the Brown Scapular. Thank you so much, Virginia, for thinking of us and bringing those. And also the group meeting today, first Saturday, and then, of course, me talking about the scriptures. So it's a lot to be thankful and grateful for, and I'm very thankful and grateful that y'all have given me the opportunity to share a little bit about my journey with scriptures. I just wanted to say quickly kind of how I'm going to proceed so that you guys have an idea of when you're going to get out of here and what to expect when I'm done. I know most everybody has the disciple notebook, and my understanding is that we need to probably read this and prepare for this meeting beforehand. This month's talk was by Father David Bergeron, who did a fabulous exposition on these scriptures that are in the second chapter on the Holy Word of God, and then gave some great examples and stories. So if you haven't taken the time to listen to that, I highly encourage that you do that. And I'm not going to touch on that he so wonderfully spoke about in that video. So I just really feel like that this group is, and even reading the Holy Scriptures is something that you get out of it what you put into it. So if you haven't done that, I would encourage you to take the time to read the book and watch the video. And then when I'm done talking, we're going to break into small groups and share with each other about the scripture, how scripture works in your life and how you use it, so that we can learn from each other. I know that's one of my goals in being part of this group, is to develop a community, people that we can grow with, and you can't really do that if you don't know each other. So when I'm done talking, we'll break into small groups of maybe four or five people to share how scripture has worked and your life. So with that being said, and us getting to know each other a little bit, I thought I would share a little bit about myself and how I've gotten to the point that I'm crazy enough to stand up here and talk to y'all about scripture. I was born Catholic. I'm what they call a cradle Catholic, but I grew up also in a time after Vatican II, and I think a lot of changes and uncertainty and turmoil were happening in the church and even in our home. I think a lot of balls were dropped, and everybody assumed everybody else was taking care of some of those necessary catechism of the children. And so my exposure to the Catholic faith was going to Mass on Sundays, and that was it. And I don't say that negatively. I'm very thankful those seeds were planted. But we had a Bible, but it was one of those coffee table Bibles that sat on the coffee table. I never once saw it opened. We never once read it outside of Mass. So there wasn't much depth to those seeds that were planted. And it was quickly, as the scripture says, picked up by the birds or trampled underfoot. And so, and then I also went to Christ the King and Father Ryan. And again, I'm not speaking negatively about that experience, but it wasn't enough. It's never enough to just hear and let it just stop there. It stops there if that's all you receive. But I'm thankful and I'm grateful because those seeds were planted. But when I went to college, I easily kind of set it aside and just kind of went with the flow. Didn't ever lose my relationship with Jesus, but I wasn't attending Mass. I wasn't praying regularly, and I certainly wasn't reading the Bible. Graduated college and began working as a nurse, and soon was married and had a baby. And those of you that have children know that once you have children, everything changes. Your focus becomes less self-centered, and you start knowing and understanding that you're responsible for the upbringing of a human being that you're responsible for. And I understood that. I understood that I was responsible to God for how I was bringing this child up. So, being a good Catholic, I had her baptized. But I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know why I was doing it, other than that's what you did. Because that was the extent of my understanding, my husband and I quickly just kind of, again, set that aside. But I understood enough to know that it was important that we bring her up with a faith. And so I was getting my hair cut one day, and I heard the lady that was cutting my hair talking to the girl next to her about this dynamic church that was starting called Bellevue Community Church. It was a non-denominational church. And I thought, I wonder what that's about. And because we were living in Bellevue at the time, it was convenient. It was literally right down the road. They were meeting at Bellevue Middle School in the little auditorium there. And so we started going. They were on fire. They opened the Bible. I had never seen people actually, other than Mass at church, the people actually in the pews holding Bibles and reading the scriptures and praise and worship, all those things that are a little bit outside the comfort zone of some Catholics. And I grew a lot. My husband grew a lot. I purchased my first Bible. And at the time, I didn't know there was a difference between the Protestant and the Catholic Bible, and started studying scripture. And we were leaders of a small group and made some lifelong friends. And for that, I'm forever grateful and thankful. And we were there for several years, and that church grew and grew and grew. And I grew and grew and grew. But as I grew, the funny thing is scripture wasn't enough. You hear that in the Protestant, it's just scripture alone. Well, because those seeds were planted in me, scripture was not enough. I was missing the liturgy. I was missing the sacraments. I was missing the beautiful traditions of the Catholic Church. And so I started going to St. Matthew's on Wednesday nights. And at that time, there was a beautiful, on fire, young priest who was as much in love with the Word of God as anybody I've ever known. And I was just mesmerized, and I was on fire again, not only for the scripture, but for the Catholic Church. And would come home all excited and telling my husband about these wonderful words and things that I was hearing at the church, at the Catholic Church. And he was intrigued. And he was intrigued enough, I think, to hear Jesus saying, "What do you seek? And come and see." And so he started coming to church with me on Wednesday night. And this priest, Father Abraham, led Bible study. And for the first time in my adult understanding, I realized the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament and this continual love story that didn't begin when Jesus came, but began way before, back in the Old Testament. So he had put it in a way that I had never heard before and I never understood before. And so my husband started going to RCIA. And, oh wait, I wanted to say a quote from St. Augustine. He said, "The New Testament and the Old Testament is concealed. The Old Testament and the New Testament is revealed." And I had just never seen it like that before. And so the big picture became a new world for my husband and I. So he went through RCIA in 2002, came into the church in the spring of 2003. So he was baptized along with our second, third, fourth, and fifth child. They were all baptized together. It was a beautiful day. And it began our journey as a family to understanding and growing more in our Catholic faith. And certainly the scriptures are a big part of that. So I guess at this point, so that was 2003. So for the past 15 years, we've been growing together as a family, learning and growing deeper in our faith of the Catholic tradition and then also of the scriptures. And I guess at this point, I'm just going to share some things that have helped me along the way. And I don't know where you all are at on your journey with Scripture. And this is probably really basic and on a very beginner level. And so for those of you that are way past that, I apologize. But I am not a theologian. I am nowhere near an expert. I questioned myself often over this past month of why I even said I would talk on Scriptures. But it has been a love of my life and has enriched my life in ways that I could not have imagined. And so I'm just going to share with you some of the things that have helped me along the way. I also want to say that I think Catholics get a bad rap on our ignorance of Scripture. And I just want to encourage you that you probably know a lot more Scripture than you think you do. Being at Mass alone is a beautiful way to hear the Word of God. And going to Sunday Mass is on a 3-year cycle, and then on the daily Mass is a 2-year cycle. But I just wanted to share with you, I looked this up. This is from the Catholic Lectionary website. It says, how much of the Bible is included in the lectionary for Mass? Not as much as you might think, yet far more than was included in the Roman Missal before the Second Vatican Council. The bishops assembled at Vatican II declared, the treasures of the Bible are to be opened up more lavishly so that a richer fare may be provided for the faithful at the table of God's Word. In this way, the more significant part of the sacred scriptures will be read to the people over a fixed number of years. And so the tables on this particular chart say that over the lectionary on the Sunday and the weekdays, we hear a total of about 13.5% of the Old Testament. That's not including the Psalms. So that's not a whole lot of the Old Testament. And then with the New Testament, it is 71.5%, which is the total, including the Gospel, over the lectionary cycle. So you are receiving a lot at church, and it's certainly better than nothing, but I don't think that you can stop there and expect to go much further. One of the things that helped me in particular in my beginning years of studying the Bible was being able to open the Bible when somebody said, turn to Romans chapter 8 or to Hosea or Isaiah, was to actually be able. Now, the tabs are great. I don't use these so much anymore because I pretty much have my way around the Bible now. So I encourage the tabs. But I can't even believe I'm going to do this. But there's a song that I'm a homeschool mom, and so I'm always looking for ways to help my children learn, and singing songs is a great way of doing that. And so when I was trying to learn the books of the Bible, I found a song. It's Kimberly Hahn. It's still on YouTube. I looked it up just to make sure it's still there. Kimberly Hahn is the wife of Scott Hahn, a beautiful convert family to the Catholic faith. I'm sure you probably have all heard of them. But anyhow, she has this song that she sang, and I'm going to sing it for you, even though A, I'm not a theologian, and B, I'm definitely not a singer, but I just want to sing it for you so you know it can be done, okay? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Tobit, Judith, Wisdom, Sirach, Baruch, and the Maccabees. Those are the Old Testament books. I know you can sing them. Those are the Old Testament books. So I use that to teach my children. Okay. Look up Kimberly Hahn. She does a much better job, but it is a great way, and it is a way to open your Bible and find those books, especially the Old Testament. The Old Testament for us Catholics are 46 books. If you don't know this, Protestants have removed. Oh, and I wanted to say that Tobit, Judith, Wisdom, Sirach, Baruch, that's not quite the exact order of the Bible, but I kind of, and Kimberly Hahn talks about how she learned it that way and she kept it that way. And I like it because it's a quick little peg of those deuterocanonical books that are not in the Protestant Bible. They do not have those particular books. Funny little joke from our BCC days, when my husband had converted, some of our friends from BCC were over, and my husband, in all seriousness, looked at one of our Protestant friends and said, "You know, you can only get wisdom from the Catholic Bible." And he didn't think it was very funny, but it's true. And he also calls the Protestant Bible the abridged version. So just so you know, there are seven more books in the Catholic Bible. And I also want to share with you, as a homeschool mom, you're always looking for ways to teach your children. And Steve Demme, who is a founder of a homeschool curriculum called Matthew C, has a fabulous little story that he put together that is like a little pictures and a little story that he put together that goes through the New Testament books. And Susan, I don't know if there's a way that we can kind of upload those links. I'll be happy to share those so that you guys can follow. I'm not going to walk through the story of the New Testament books. There's 27 books. And again, it's one of those things, very easy to remember. And once you've got it, it sticks with you. And just a little bit of trivia, and this is something that I just recently learned. In the Old Testament, in the prophets, the prophets are put in there from longest to shortest. Unless a prophet also has an additional book, like Jeremiah has Lamentations, it'll be right after Jeremiah. Otherwise, they're written from the they're in the Bible from the longest to the shortest. And the same with the New Testament letters of Paul, they're in there longest to shortest. Just a little bit of trivia. Okay. As I said, there are Bibles that do not contain all the Catholic books, but in different translations. And I don't say one translation is better than the others. All of them are imperfect because they're translations. The New American Bible is the one that the church uses, the official translation the church uses, the ones you're going to hear at Mass. The RSV, the Douay Rheims are all good. I like to have them all just so that I can compare different translations. Some of them capture a word or a phrase a little bit better than others. Even the King James, which obviously is not Catholic, has some beautiful, which the RSV is in the same vein as the King James, beautiful translations. So it's good just to have several translations just to find the fullness of the words that are spoken. In your Bible, if you've not noticed, there are footnotes that will lead you to further areas where that is referring back to. So look at those footnotes in your Bible. That's a great way to get a little bit deeper into the text. And then another great thing that I highly recommend are commentaries. Again, just look for a reputable Catholic publisher. Collegeville has one. Ignatius has. I started to bring all these books, y'all, but I felt ridiculous with my huge kind of like suitcase full of all these books. But there are wonderful commentaries out there, and I love them because somebody's already done all that work for you as far as giving you the background, giving you some of the church teachings and the history of the author of the books that you're reading and so forth, so on. I was listening to a speaker that I'll tell you about in a minute who talked about sometimes we go into what's called a Catholic coma, in that we're just reading along and it's all going over your head. You don't know who exactly they're talking about, where exactly they're talking about, or what they're talking about, but you just read it because you know you're supposed to read it, and then you put it away and it hasn't done you a whole lot of good. So take the time. One of the resources I highly recommend is the Institute of Catholic Culture. I have learned so much. It's a free website and everything on there is free, but they have videos, they have downloads, they have papers that you can print out. They have a wonderful gospel commentary every week that I listen to that goes deeply. It's basically a commentary. It's an audio, two priests that are just talking about the actual reading and who you're talking about and the historical significance. EWTN is a wonderful resource formed. I'm probably not telling y'all anything you don't already know, but these are wonderful resources that we have at our hands that I think the main thing I would like to probably express is that it takes work. You can't just open your Bible or even just hold your Bible and expect through osmosis that you're going to get what God has for you out of it. It takes time, and so slow down. Read a chapter. Read a paragraph, if that's as far as you get. If you've given yourself 15, 30 minutes a day to study Scripture, and you get into even just a verse, and it strikes you in such a way, stay there. That's a wonderful tradition called Lectio Divina, where you can just reread it and go over it, and let God speak to you through those words. But it takes time. So don't rush through your reading of Scripture. Mitch Pacwa. I love Mitch Pacwa. If y'all haven't watched him, he has a wonderful program called Scripture and Tradition. He's another one that has a wonderful set of DVDs that we lent to one of our Protestant friends, because it was so profound on the truth of the Catholic Church, and that friend threw him out the window. So, truly. So, we didn't get them back. So, understand that not everybody is going to agree with our thoughts and our tradition, but we have God's Word. We have His revelation. Vatican II put out the second, or the Dogmatic Constitution of Divine Revelation. That's Dei Verbum. I highly recommend you read that. It talks about how the church asks us lay faithful to read the Scripture. I don't know if you heard that it was told to us Catholics that we were not to read the Bible. That was never true. Never true. We just need to be very careful that we're not trying to interpret things without the tradition of the church. Cardinal Ratzinger also has a little, and I say Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, but when he wrote this, it was Cardinal Ratzinger. But it's just a one little page paper on how to read the Bible. I don't know what I did with it, but it really is just one little page on how to read the Bible. And basically, he's telling you to read it with the church, read it with masters, those that can guide you along your way. It's a lot. It's a lot to try to understand. And the exciting thing, I think, once you start taking in some of these sources that are out there for you, you start to fall in love more and more with the Word of God, because you start to see the beautiful connections, how Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. I wanted to just close with, I think, two things. I'm reading this book by Cardinal Sarah called The Power of Silence. And just the very beginning of it, he says, through sacred scripture, when it is listened to and meditated upon in silence, divine graces are poured out on man. It is in faith, and not by traveling in distant lands or by crossing seas and continents, that we can find and contemplate God. Actually, it is through long hours of poring over sacred scripture, after resisting all the attacks of the prince of this world, that we will reach God. And you will have attacks. The devil doesn't want you reading the Bible, but that's God's love story to us. Saint Isidore of Seville has a wonderful quote when he says, when we pray, we talk to God. When we read scripture, God talks to us. He has a word for all of us. We just have to be willing to put in the work, to slow down and hear what he has to say. And that's about all I have to say. So I think at this time we'll probably break into small groups and discuss how scripture has worked in your life, and how, and we'll just go from there. Thank you.